and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is taken from the gospel lesson for today, Matthew 12, verse 20. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. That is our text. In Christ Jesus, our gentle, rescuing Redeemer, dearly beloved. In our community, as our quarter grinds to a close, certain emotions fill our hearts. Some degree of satisfaction and joy, hopefully, but perhaps also some regret and disappointment. This passing of time reminds us also that we are now liturgically in the eschatological season of the year, when we remember that we are living in the last days. These are days of mounting tension and anxiety, men's hearts failing them for fear, rumors of wars, and we know that the tests and the tribulations of God's people will be increasing, and we must minister to these. For that reason, our text brings a focus to us that is very important. Provides for us a beautiful model of the holy ministry for our comfort and our inspiration. May we therefore fix our gaze by the eyes of faith on our beloved Redeemer and Savior and see him first of all as the suffering servant. He identified his role many times. He assured his disciples that he did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister. He demonstrated this in the upper room, when there was some argument about who would wash the feet of the assembly. And Jesus himself knelt before his disciples and provided for them a beautiful illustration of the servanthood which he was assuming and which he was passing on to them as his disciples. So the suffering servant is a familiar scene to us. He who had inspired his prophet Isaiah now, in the words of our text, fulfills the prophecy in a remarkable and humanly unanticipated way. He is not striding through the streets of Jerusalem shouting his heavenly credentials, nor is he assuming the role of a majestic king or a mighty conqueror. That they could have understood. But quietly withdrawing from the limelight, and healing all who came to him quietly and joining them to remain silent about his healing until his mission was accomplished, that kind of Savior they could not understand, and many were less inclined to even consider accepting. This also goes completely against the grain of our society. Our society has as its chief value success, winning, pleasure-loving, and finally, consumer-oriented. That kind of society can hardly understand the values that are presented to us in the words of our text. The humility, the commitment of a Savior who assembles about him equally humble and dedicated servants and disciples who will go out and carry out his commission of healing. For our Savior still today, and particularly in these last days, hears humanity's cry of pain and sorrow and need and guilt, and he is still responding to us. This heavenly King who has assumed this deep humility, although unfamiliar to the ears of the world, is very familiar to us. The God of all creation, the only begotten Son of the Heavenly Father, makes no sense at all to our society on human ground as he covers his glory with humility and prepares himself for the sin-atoning sacrifice on the altar of the cross. He, the sinless Lamb of God, the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, smitten of God and afflicted, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. And as those blessed words of prophecy were fulfilled, we today are comforted and reassured by the promise that accompanies this fulfillment. And now, a step further. Not only are we to proclaim this loving, all-sufficient Savior who wishes to cover all the sins of the world with his sacrificial blood, not only are we to hold out the comfort of the Son of God and the Son of Man contending in behalf of all humanity, but we are to assume the role of the holy ministry with him as our chief model. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. First of all, that is a source of great comfort and reassurance to us this morning. For inevitably in our lives, there will come those moments when we are at our weakest, when we are debilitated by the hammer blows of life, when our energy fails, and when we feel impending defeat and despair crowding into our hearts. And we know that our Savior, who has promised he will not break the bruised reed and will not quench the smoking flax, will be in attendance as we cry out and as we ask for his help. And that promise will reassure us. There are several points that should be made at this point. One of them is that in our value system, in our society today, a bruised reed is indeed a worthless thing. With thousands of good reeds around, why spend time with a bruised reed, which needs repair, which needs excessive attention, which calls for an investment of great energy? In the midst of tinder all about us, flax readily available, why should we concern ourselves with the smoking, smoldering flax, the blackened wick, when all around us there's plenty of supply of fresh flax and good wick? And the answer comes to us from heaven: no one is expendable. Every soul is precious. Christ has died for all. And this is our ministry, and this is our focus, that no one is ever expendable, no matter what it costs, in terms of investment of energy and care and concern. That applies, first of all, to our value system. This is the way God values each one of us. And even though we oftentimes have feelings of inadequacy and worthlessness as we move towards and into the work of the holy ministry, nevertheless, with the word and sacrament resources that he provides, with the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the tools of the law, gospel, confrontation, and comfort, we have heavenly tools that are mighty indeed. And with our Lord and his Spirit accompanying us, we too can share his spirit of concern and care. We too shall be committed not to break the bruised reed, not to quench the smoldering flax, but to treasure each soul that is entrusted to our shepherd care as we undertake our ministry. And we have sufficient analogies throughout Scripture, illustration after illustration, as to how this takes place. I will simply select two that seem paradoxical and in contrast, but nevertheless carry out this model of the holy ministry. First of all, there was one whom our society would recognize as a potential candidate for greatness in the kingdom of God, a rich young man coming to Christ and saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And I'm sure the crowd about Jesus at that point thought that he would embrace him and include him in the group that was designated for discipleship. Instead, our Lord and Master, perceiving the problems of that young man's heart, challenges and confronts him. However, the text reminds us that Jesus loved this young man, so the test was a test of love. His soul was indeed a smoldering flax because it was overwhelmed with earthly value systems, which had crowded out the high spiritual values which he should have been nurturing at that moment. And so our Savior told him, "Sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me." An almost impossible test of faith, we would say today. And the young man failed the test. But it was divine love. It was a desire to take that bruised reed, a reed bruised by the false values of life, and restore it. Yet he turned his back on the Savior. and went away with regret, for he had much riches. And then we have another startling example in the hour of our Savior's death, when his precious sinless body was nailed to the accursed tree for us and for our sins. The dying thief, a most unlikely prospect for membership in the Christian church, certainly, and truly a bruised reed and a smoldering flax. And somehow, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that wasted life, destroyed by wanton lust and passion, discolored with criminal activity and murder, perhaps, that wasted life with no opportunity to rectify itself, no future at all, with his last breath and his ebbing life, he turned to Christ and he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom," after having attempted to silence his companion who was blasphemously challenging the Christ. And the smoldering flax was tenderly and caringly encouraged to break into a saving flame of faith. And the bruised reed was indeed strengthened and empowered, for Christ responded to that confession, to that plea, by saying, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Truly a wonderful fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah of old, that he would not break the bruised reed and he would not quench the smoldering flax. This then must characterize our ministry. Oft times the most unlovable, the weakest, the most problematic in our ministry should be the focus of our attention and our care, because they represent the bruised reed of our day, the smoldering flax. Those who are crushed by loss and sorrow, those who are racked with pain, those must be the object of our merciful and gracious ministry. May God grant us then a commitment to this type of ministry, exalting for us this blessed model of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that our ministry may be directed to those who need the gospel the most. In his holy name we pray. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.